We're in the book of Jude. Book of Jude. Jude chapter
1.
4.
1. There's only one chapter in Jude. Jude. That was a trick question. There's only Jude. Jude is a book that only has one chapter. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. And I got tickled a little bit ago, and I get tickled quite frequently, but boy, you should have seen the procession of kids coming up here to give an offering. Just kids running everywhere. Amen. And I know in this church we like to see that. Amen. Yes. At times this place is full of church kids, and there isn't as many adults, but I mean, that's okay. The church is full. Amen. The church is full. Amen. And we want the kids. Amen. So Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. We'll read one scripture today. I won't be too long. We'll start with one scripture. All right, let's read this. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Amen. That part there, ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. The faith. Amen. I have a thought today, a fighting faith, a fighting faith. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the word of God. God, that there is a fighting faith and it's in you, God. God, that the Spirit of the Lord could stir us up, that we could earnestly contend for the faith, God. God, everything you've delivered unto us, all the gifts you've given us, all the blessings you've bestowed upon us, all the progress we made, God. God, that we'll have a fight inside of us to earnestly contend for the faith, God, the faith in you. God, stir it up, God. Give us strength, God. God, let us go forward under the anointing and the power of God. God, let your word come forth and let it glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So Jude, amen, was writing here and he said, you should earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. What faith is he talking about? He's talking about the faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And more specifically, amen, it's not just faith in salvation. It's this way of life. It's this way of living. When we come to God, things changed. Our heart changed. Amen. And life was inserted where death was once. And after a period of time, it's not as easy as it once was to contend for the faith. But God put it in our heart to contend for the faith. So let's earnestly contend for the faith. Let's flip over to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23. Amen. And God gave me this idea last night, but this morning, before I ever got to church, God dropped this in my heart, and I'm only bringing that part up because Pastor was just preaching this morning. He was preaching on the mighty men of David, and that's one of the scriptures God laid on my heart today, was talking about the mighty men of David, but they weren't known as the mighty men of David when Pastor started. What were they known as? Who was paying attention this morning? What was Pastor talking about this morning? It wasn't the mighty men of David.
Losers.
Pastor rephrased his terminology this morning. Losers, but misfits, outcasts. Do you know that the outcasts that David hung out with, a lot of them, many of them became the mighty men of David when David became king? Think about that for a second. Put that into perspective. Because Pastor was talking about losers this morning, misfits, didn't belong. He was talking about all them. And he was talking about how they had a leader. And we need to be a leader. And we need to go forward. But God took them losers, them misfits, them nobodies. And all of a sudden, he made them mighty men of God. And we can read in the Bible and see the mighty works that they have done. We're only going to really cover them briefly this morning, but they did great things for God. Amen. And they once were losers. They once were misfits. They once were nobodies. They were outcasts. Society had written them off. In fact, if King Saul would have caught them, they'd have been done with. Amen. But God saw fit, and God had a plan for their life. God has a plan for our life. So we find ourselves in Samuel chapter 23. And we'll start in verse 9. I really want to read verse 10. Amen. But we'll start in verse 9. Actually, verse 11. But we'll start in verse 9. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defiled the Philistines, and they were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. Verse 10. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand wearied and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to the spoil. Stop there for a second. Amen. So these mighty men, they had something to fight for. What did they fight with? They fight with a sword. And he fought until, has anybody ever gripped a hold of something until you literally, because you had a hold of it so long that you literally had to open your fingers because your fingers wouldn't open. So his fingers stuck to that sword because he had a hold of that sword with such fierceness and such extra. And he was fighting and he was defending what was his. And he fought and he fought and he fought. And then finally, when the battle was done, he had to literally just his hand clave to the sword and become one with the sword. What is our sword? Our sword is the word of God, the Bible says. The Bible says the sword is the word of God. There's references all through the Bible about that. So when we talk about earnestly contending with the faith, it's important that we have the word of God with us and for us, and we go to the word of God, amen, and we cling to it, amen, and God will give the victory. Now verse 11, amen, and after him was Sham, the son of the Agite, the Agi, the Herite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Amen. So just for a little bit this morning, I want to talk about the little piece of ground. Your little piece of ground. Because the Philistines would come in. That was the enemy. I'm going to get down here a little bit. That thing can follow me or it doesn't have to follow me. But if I get down here a little bit closer, amen, it seems to work better. Amen. So this little piece of ground, it's where they grew their crops. It's where they fed their village. And so the Philistines would come in. I don't know. They must have been lazy. They didn't want to do it on their own. And so they came in and all the children of Israel fled before them. And there was a crop. And the Philistines would come in and they'd say, oh, thank you very much. They would grab the crop. They would harvest the crop. They would take it away and they would get the spoil. But there was a mighty man that stood up. He stood up in the midst and that was his piece of ground. So the first question we have today is do you have a piece of ground? Something that's valuable to you. Something that means something to you. Something that the Lord has spoken to you in your heart, and he's given you something that belongs to you. You know, the enemy might have tried to destroy it before. The enemy might have lit it on fire, but God restored it. Now stuff is growing back up in this little field, but it is your field that was given to you by God. Something that God laid on your heart. Something that was put in your heart. Something that means something to you, that matters to you. It could be we're talking spiritual stuff, but it could be your family. It could be a loved one. It could be a place at work. It could be a ministry. It could be a vision. It could be, you know, a school. And it could be friends. And it could be this. But it's your piece of ground. It's something that's extremely important to you that the enemy wants. And so the enemy likes to make himself look big. So the Philistines, they would get in these big mobs. And they would come marching in. And they would be all scary with all kinds of weapons. Now, most of these village people, they hardly had a sword. They didn't have much of anything. And so the children of Israel would look up and they'd run for their life. And they'd run and they'd run. Amen. But the Bible said there were some mighty men that lived during that time. And one of these mighty men was the name Shammah. And the Bible says is that Shammah, you know, verse 12, and he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. And defended it. So the first question we have before we get to that is, do you have a piece of ground that the Lord has given to you? Because the Lord wants to give everybody a piece of ground. He wants to give everybody a ministry. He wants to give everybody. I'm not talking about preacher from behind the pulpit. I'm talking about a ministry field. I'm talking about, you know, something that it's your job. Like Pastor was saying this morning, you know, where has God put you? Has he put you around a bunch of misfits? Well, if he put you around a bunch of misfits, don't hang your head. Be David. Be David and be the leader of them. And so God has given you this little piece of ground, or he's given you this ministry, or he's given you these family members, or he's giving you these situations. And it seems like sometimes the Philistines come in and they destroy it and they burn it down, but it grows back up because you don't quit building it. You don't quit working on it. You don't quit investing it. But then there comes a point in time after he gives you the piece of ground. So if he hasn't given you a piece of ground, ask the Lord, God, I want something, and I want you to put it on my heart, and I want it to be important to me. I want it to be something that belongs to me from you. Something that one day is going to have fruit, because you promised me it's going to have fruit. It's going to have life. It could be one individual. It could be one individual. I think of, I might mix up a couple stories here, but you'll get the principle. Charles Wesley, you know, his mom had kids. I don't know, she had a bunch of them. But that's all she did. Because back in that day, the women didn't go and they didn't work and they didn't do much. And all she had was kids. But them were her kids. And that was her little piece of ground. And so she would take time with each one of them children, and she would tell them about Jesus, and she would nurture them up in the way of the Lord, and multiple of them become great men of God one day. Why? Because that was the fruit from the little piece of ground that she was putting out. I planted one seed. What comes up? A whole kernel. How many seeds on that kernel? How many seeds on one kernel? Pop quiz.
You mean on an ear of corn?
On an ear of corn, yes. How many, you plant a kernel and you get an ear of corn. How many little kernels are on that ear of corn?
A bunch.
Now, I think Eric's probably closer than all of you. I asked the question. I didn't even know the answer to it. Now somebody's got to figure it out. But there's a lot of them. Eric says probably about 100. So there is a lot of them. The reality is she only had a few children. And she only had a little task that was in front of her. But she took it serious. Why? Because God gave her that little piece of ground. It was her piece of ground. God put it in her heart. God gave her that ministry. God put her on the earth for that purpose. And it looked like it was such a small little purpose, but some great men of God come out of that family, and they really turned the world upside down for God. Revival broke out. And many people are now responsible. She's responsible for many people coming to the Lord. Not directly, but indirectly. Amen. And it is directly. So it's her little piece of ground. Amen. Has God given you a little piece of ground? I mean, he wants to. You got to ask him, God, I want a piece of ground. I want a piece of ground. And sometimes God has given us a piece of ground. Our eyes are just not open to it. And if our eyes aren't open to it, it's not very important to us. Because the rest of them people, there might have been men there that ran. It was their piece of ground too. It belonged to that village. It was their piece of ground. You know, they fed their family too. But they didn't look at it that way. I just got there and I work in that field. Man, it's hard work. And I work, and well, it's just going to get taken from me anyways. And they didn't put much importance on it because they didn't realize that piece of ground was given to them by God. They didn't find an importance in it. They didn't find reason behind it. But this one man, Shammah, he realized that this piece of ground was from David. From God, and God gave them this piece of ground so they can feed their community, so they can feed their village. And so what happened was he got himself, the Bible doesn't even say what weapon he had. The Bible just said he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. Maybe he didn't even have a weapon. So all these men are coming at him, but he was standing on his piece of ground. He wasn't moving. You know, if God, he could have died in that piece of ground, but he figured, yeah, if the Lord gave it to me, The Lord's either going to take it away and take me away with it, or God's going to help me defend this piece of ground. And so he got down, everybody else left, and he stood right in that piece of ground, and he said, this piece of ground belongs to the children of Israel. And if you want to take this piece of ground, Philistines, bring it on. And what does the Bible say?
The end of verse
12. And slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Who wrought the victory?
The Lord.
The Lord. The Lord wrought the victory. So the first question is, has the Lord given you a piece of ground? Well, maybe we need to open up our eyes and realize the Lord has given us a piece of ground. He's laid people on our heart. He's put people, you know, in our family. He's put people in our minds and our hearts and that we have contact with every day. And they're that piece of ground, that situation. Amen. So he's given it to us. Now it's time to stand.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we talked about earnestly contend for the faith. I'm talking about a fighting faith. A faith that just doesn't say, well, I'm running. I'm seeing you later. You know, I see a purpose in it. I got a field from God, and I'm going to fight.
Yeah.
I'm going to fight for the faith. One more scripture. And then it's a few scriptures, but it's one more passage. Amen. First, 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, just a few scriptures here. Hey, I want to be short, sweet, I want to be to the point. Amen, because I want you to get this. Amen, I don't want to be weary of you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. So Timothy is a younger preacher, and Paul is his teacher. Paul mentored him. Now at this time, Paul is in prison. It's towards the end of Paul's life. And so he writes to Timothy, almost like a farewell letter, but just an encouragement letter to Timothy. Timothy, you got this. Go, go, go. Do the work of God. And this is what he says. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And when I call to remembrance the unframed faith that is in thee. That word unframed there means genuine. So we could say the genuine faith that is in thee. There's a difference between genuine faith and faith that's just not genuine. It's just wishy-washy. No. There's a genuine faith, and that is a determining faith. It's a fighting faith. It's a faith, you know, I don't got everything figured out, and I'm not perfect, but I have faith in God, and I'm going to keep going one day at a time. I might fall. I might make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to get back up. I'm going to keep going. That's what this is talking about. It's talking about a genuine faith, a faith that loves God, a faith that's going to keep going, that's going to do their best day by day in the struggle, in the fight. They have a genuine faith. They have a fighting faith. Amen. And it dwelt first in his grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. This grandmother changed the course of her family.
Yes, she did. Mm-hmm.
Listen to that. Listen to that. I live in a family that there were some people in the past, my grandma Larson, amen, that changed the course of her family. I'm not going to get deep into that. We can spend a lot of time there. But she changed the course of her family. Amen. And so I believe there's a couple different people that are present here today or maybe even listening online. But one of them is you come from a godly family. And so it doesn't mean that genuine faith that was in them is also going to be in you. Because you've got to stir it up. You've got to stir up the genuine faith that is in you. Amen. Just like your mother did. Just like your grandmother did. Amen. Because you've seen it operate. You know what it's like. You can stir it up. Verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that is in thee by the putting on of my hands. God has given us a gift. He's given us a gift to serve him, to honor him. Amen. Verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit. Listen, this is important. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sane mind, sound mind. Then people that were defending that little piece of ground, they were fearful. They were scared. Because it was getting taken and they thought nothing. Let me tell you what, when the Spirit of God gets in somebody, you know, you don't think, and You're shaking and you're trembling and you don't know what to do, but you have something inside of you that says fight. And so you get in the little piece of ground and you stand there. The Spirit of God can help you conquer the enemy that's trying to take that little piece of ground. You know, that day, that field was not burnt to the ground like it was in times past. That day, that field was not harvested by the enemy and taken away, and they were left with nothing. No, that day, that man stood in that little piece of ground, and nothing was taken. Nothing was taken, and many people were fed because of that. Listen, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. You need to get that scripture in your heart and in your mind. God has given you a field, and He's going to help you take care of that field. He's going to help you do it in love. You don't have to be afraid of the enemy. Amen. You might be afraid, but you just step out there and you'll feel the power and the strength of God. Because the Spirit of God, you know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I know this field belongs to me. And that's a problem, because sometimes people don't know the field belongs to them. Uh-huh. They don't have a sound mind. They think, man, this family of mine, they might not make it. And no. God gave you that family. He put them in your heart. God gave you them people at the workplace. God gave you, like Pastor said this morning, He gave you them misfits, them castaways. He put them in your life for a reason. It's that piece of ground in your claim. Claiming them for the kingdom of God, and you're not going to be fearful about it, but you're going to have that sound mind that God has put inside of you. Amen. Verse 8, almost done. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Amen. We're going to skip down to verse 12. Amen. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Do you know who you believe in? I know who I believe in. God gave me this piece of land. He gave me this family. He gave me this ministry. He gave me this people I come in contact with. And I know who I believe. I don't serve a dead God. I don't serve a little God. I don't serve a small God. I serve a God, the Bible says, that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above that which we can ask or think. God is able to conquer every situation. God is able to see us through. Is there a battle? Yeah. Is there an enemy that tries to come into our little field? Yeah. But we got to stand in the little field. We got to say, I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. I'm not going to quit reading my Bible, but I'm going to cleave to the sword of God. I'm going to cleave to the word of God. I'm going to keep reading it. I'm going to stand there and I'm going to keep fighting it. Verse 13 and 14, and we're done. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hold fast. Hold fast. Don't let go. Don't let go. Cleave to that sword. Verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. You know, when you, let me address this real quick. Amen. When you come to God and you give yourself to God and you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus Christ comes and abides in you. The Holy Spirit does too. Amen. Some people think, us Pentecostals believe, they're like, we receive the Holy Ghost after. Listen to me talk all the way through before, so you understand what I'm talking about. We have something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what that is an experience where we yield to the Spirit of God that's already in us, and we let it come out of us in fullness and in power. But when you get saved, the Spirit of God is already inside of you. That power of God is already inside of you. But the problem is, in some other denominations, is they keep it back. They don't acknowledge it. They shut it down. But as Pentecostals, we should let it flow from our life, giving us power to overcome. Amen. Because listen to the scripture again. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Keep it. Let the Holy Ghost rise up inside of you. It's a fierceness. It's a nastiness. It's a fire that gets inside of you that says, "Oh, that's it. I'm done. That's enough. This belongs to God. This field belongs to God. This soul belongs to God. My family belongs to God. My mind belongs to God. My ministry belongs to God. My workplace belongs to you. It all belongs to you. It's your field, and you've entrusted me with this field. So I'm getting right down here right now. I'm standing in the field. I'm standing right in this little field, and I'm going to stand here until the Lord comes, until I see a harvest, until I see fruit that comes from it." Man, I'll finish with this little story. And you can talk to Judy, my mom, Tom, about this a little bit later. And I might get some of the details wrong, so I apologize. But just real briefly, everybody, my great-grandma, amen, my great-grandma Larson, she wasn't always on fire for God. Right? She went through some rough patches early on in her life. Some extremely rough patches. But she found the Lord. And when they put her in the nursing home, they just put to rest one of her last children, her last child, Joyce. And one of the things that was talked about at the funeral was Grandma was talked about. They put her in a nursing home. Listen to this, kids. They put her in a nursing home, and the nursing home thought she had something wrong with her knees, because they had big calluses. You know how your dad works and he's got big calluses on his hands? Well, Grandma Larson had calluses on her knees. And you want to know why she had calluses on her knees? Because she spent so much time on her knees praying before God and crying out to God. What was she praying for? She was praying for missionaries. She was praying for the church. She was praying for her grandchildren. She was praying for this. God had given her a little piece of ground. She was a little woman that it wouldn't seem like she had much, because she didn't have very much. But God had given her some things, and God had laid some things on her heart. And she wasn't going to let go of that little piece of ground. She was going to have faith, and she was going to believe God, and she was going to fight for that little piece of ground. And she's affected many generations for the glory of God. So what little piece of ground has God given you? If you don't know, ask the Lord to show you. Because it's a precious little piece of ground. Somebody might look at your little piece of ground and say, "Oh, that's pretty pathetic." But no, it means something to you. The people that are affected on that little piece of ground that God has given you, they mean something to you. That's a precious little piece of ground. And God wants to wake that up inside of you, that you're calling, that the place God has you is extremely important, and God wants to use you to really affect the world around you. But you got to be willing to stand. You got to be willing to stay in there with God, to stay on that little piece of ground and be the best witness for God that you can possibly be. Amen. That's what I have today. Amen. Let's stand up. We'll pray. Amen. Let's bow our heads, and let's go to the Lord here this morning. Dear God, we call upon you today. Lord, I'm asking you, and this is a prayer that you should be praying to. God, this little piece of ground that you've given me, God, it's my piece of ground. You've entrusted me with it. God, and it's important to me. Lord, and I'm going to stand here, God, not in my own might, not in my own strength, but by the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to stand here. Lord, and I'm going to fight. Lord, I'm going to fight. I'm going to have a faith that fights, a faith that is determined, a faith that is determined to stand the test of time. Lord God, and though the field might have got burned down in the past, I might have ran before, but God, I'm not running now. Amen. Make up your mind and your heart right now. Oh, let the Lord know. Let the enemy know. Devil, I'm not backing down. Devil, I'm not leaving. I'm going to keep going to church. I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to keep praying for my grandchildren. I'm going to keep praying for my children. I'm going to keep believing God that God is going to change the heart of my loved one. Amen. I'm going to stay in there. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight until my hand cleaves to the sword. I'm going to stay in the battle, not by my strength, but by the power of God that is in me. I'm going to believe in God. I'm going to depend upon God. I'm going to call upon God. Amen. God, help me. me to fight. God, help me to stay in there. God, help me to continue the fight and the race and the war. But it's in my heart, God. It's in my heart, God. Let them know it's in your heart this morning. Amen. Let them know it's in your heart. Amen. Continue to seek the Lord as we sing.
I know.